This is Thomas Edison's Attic signing out. Thanks for listening here on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org on the World Wide Web.
That's right. WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. we're going to have fun tonight. Fun. Get ready for some fun. Get ready. Who's ready for 180 minutes of fun? I know I am. Where can you have it? Best show.
Radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Well, I am Buddy Swales, governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, governor of party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard Collier from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kern?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yeah.
They have ring bologna at the Wawa I go to.
What? I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devil.
My name is Ollie Farinaki.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash your trash.
This is Eric. I'm calling from Newcomb.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man. Right.
Tent don't stand without the tent pole. This is a tent pole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What? This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, it's Captain Jack.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fafer.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name's Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Lou. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.
Cause it's time to turn the tide, yeah. Because it's a
Show's back again for another Tuesday night installment. You can't stop the best show. You can't top the best show. You can't stop the best show. And we're back again for another Tuesday night extravaganza. We will be taking you through till 11 p.m., at which point Evan Funk Davies will continue the Tuesday night behemoth known as New Power Tuesday. The 6 hours of power. Dare I say, best show paired with Evan Funk Davies? The best 6 hours of power ever? Maybe. I don't know. Could be. OC DJ? Nah, I think Evan beats OC DJ. I'm going to say that right now. That's it. Sorry, OC DJ. You're a footnote. Ancient history. It's like talking about the ice truck. Guy bringing the milkman. You had your moment in the sun. Sorry, buddy. I love you. But the best show, it's like a tank crushes everyone. And someday Evan Funk Davies will get crushed by the best show. He will be chewed up under my wheels like every other back half of the 6 hours of power. Or perhaps maybe I'll get crushed under his wheels. Maybe this is hubris. Maybe this is how the Titanic went down. Who knows? We'll find out, though. Now I'm starting to feel like I'm going down. We just heard The Lost Sounds from their self-titled album on the In the Red label. We heard Bombs Over Mom. M-O-M, Mom. That being played by request. Long distance dedication to Omar, who does the recaps for the best show each and every week. Although this week he fell off. He slipped a little bit. He slipped. No, I seriously, I love the recaps. You can check them out over at friendsoftom.com, or you can check them out at recidivism.org. He is one of the heroes of the best show on WFMU, and thank you. Before that, from a 4-CD set called Babylon's Burning, the Rough and Ready Rise of Punk Rock, 1973 to 1978, we heard The Damned with Neat, 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 a BBC session. And this is on the Castle label. Before that, Aerosmith, Draw the Line, from the album of the same title. And that's it. I'm drawing the line. I'm done. I'm drawing the line. Anybody who's crossed the line in Tommy's life, guess what? The line has been drawn. And you are on the other side of the line. I'm circling the wagons now. That's right. I'm done. Clown time's over. I only got one life to live. I don't got time for this malarkey. It's gonna make me jump through hoops. Clown time's over. I'm done. I have drawn the line. Although the line that they probably drew, Aerosmith, was probably a line of cocaine. That's probably what they were talking about. And starting us off from the Sly and the Family Stone box, seven awesome CDs of their first seven full-length records from the Life album, the third Sly and the Family Stone album. We heard Dynamite. Hot stuff, Jack. 201-209-9368 is the number to get through to the best show on WFMU. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm your host for tonight's installment. Open Phone Tuesday? No. That went the way of all that other stuff. That went the way of OCDJ. Thing of the past. From now on, we have topics. And anyone brave enough to call 201-209-9368 before a topic has been put on the table is either a super caller, which of which there are only two, Paycheck in Canada and Dave in Tennessee, or they are a very brave person. So let's find out. This flashing line is quite intriguing. FMU, you're on the air. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Farmer Eli.
Who?
Farmer Eli.
What's that?
I called a while ago.
Oh, I remember you.
Yeah, I haven't called in a really, really long time. But I'm not saying I'm a super caller by any means. I was in South Jersey, so I wasn't able to listen to the show to get a topic.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to call and talk about last week's show.
Yeah.
You know how pretty much you say whether it's, you know, an L or a W to mark the shows?
Yes, yes.
Let's just say last week, perfect game.
Wow. Really?
The best show on WFMU.
Really?
Really.
So last week wasn't even a blowout.
No, it was, you know, something for, like, if you were watching it on, like, the Yes Network on Yankees Classics, like, that, they would have had that show.
I always like those games you flip by, it's like, Yankees Classics. It's like, boy, I wonder if the Yankees are going to win this one. Do they ever run any game on the Yes Network for Yankee Classics where the Yankees don't win?
I always like it when, like, I'm looking for a game and I'm watching it and it's a fairly recent game and I'm getting excited and then I look up in the corner and I realize it's just Yankees Classic.
You realize this game took place 9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how I would have realized that when they play like 7 Mary 3 over the over the stadium PA?
Or like Don Mattingly's coming up to bat.
Yes. To the sounds of 7 Mary 3.
Last week's show was a perfect game.
Oh, well,
you're
amazing. You're sweet to say that, Eli, out on the farm.
Yeah.
You're a very kind soul. So what are you growing on that farm?
We have organic vegetables and we have free-range chickens, mm-hmm. Free-range eggs, stuff like that, you know.
What kind of vegetables?
Thus far, it's like cold weather stuff. You know, like cabbage, mm-hmm. Carrots, mm-hmm. Starting potatoes, starting like spring greens. And stuff
you don't
like
have
that.
Any stores near you? Because you know that stuff is available at stores.
I know. That's the problem. If it wasn't available at stores, I'd probably be making a lot more money. But
you know what? Keeping the baseball metaphor going, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a hell of a Christmas. The words of Carl Yastrzemski.
Yeah, the big Y.
The big Y. I think he wasn't called the big Y. I thought he was called Yaz. The big Y. He's making up nicknames now. Get off my phone. Get off my farm. Wonder if he says that. Get off my farm. With a shotgun. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get some of my buddies, my dirt bike buddies. We'll head over to his farm and we'll just tear up the entire farm doing donuts. Maybe that's what I'll get. Maybe I'll get a dirt bike. Wouldn't that be cool if I was driving through Jersey City on a dirt bike? Wouldn't that be cool? No, that wouldn't be cool. I can answer that myself. I would deserve everything I get if I was riding a dirt bike through Jersey City. Now, I've been, you know me, I'm a very contemporary person. I read 11 newspapers every day. I'm like Mort Saul. I read 11 newspapers before I even get out of bed. I always love those pompous people like that. You read 11, I read 9 newspapers. Really? What time do you start your workday? 5 o'clock at night? Read 11, you're not reading that many newspapers. Well, newspapers stink, by the way. No offense. That is something, you know what, not newspaper. I'd say the New York Times stinks. People, you read the Times on Sunday? No, I actually would like to do something with my Sunday. Sit there at 7:30 at night, still trying to get through the Times. Oh, I got to read this thing. What is it, homework? No. First of all, it's like $14. I got to sit there reading that thing all Sunday? Man, I might want to go outside. It's like video games for old people, the New York Times. Go outside. Enjoy your weekend. No, I just want to make it through the book reviews here. Really? I'm more of a USA Today man myself. I like to know one thing about every state. Apparently this bill is getting passed in Arizona. That's interesting. I wonder what's going on in Wyoming. Scan down. You can sum up the entire country in like half a page. But anyway, I'm very knowledgeable. I read over 11 websites every day. And I've been hearing all this stuff, stuff about the actor, Alex Baldwin. Apparently, for those who don't know, this Alex Baldwin called his daughter on the telephone and left her a harsh message where he yelled at her. And it was very upsetting to all involved. I'm a fan of Alex Baldwin. So what I did, I'd actually consider myself a pretty big Alex Baldwin fan. I have yet to hear that call. You know why? Because I don't want to know it. I don't want to know that about him. And that leads to tonight's first topic. I wish I didn't know that. What kind of things are there that you wish you didn't know? Like you found them out and you're like, oh brother, I wish I didn't know that. Like you wish you could go back to before you heard it, before you knew it. I wish I didn't know that. Could be from your personal life. Things you wish you didn't know. Could be from people you don't even know. You don't want to know that about them. 201-209-9368. The hot, hot topic. I wish I didn't know that. Apparently the phones are jammed and all the lines have canceled each other out and short-circuited the entire board. 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello, sir.
Oh, yes, who's this?
Paul.
Who?
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like your name was Hall.
No, Paul.
Paul, where are you calling from, Paul?
Brooklyn.
From what?
Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn. You want to stop with the fake voice there, Paul?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You know what I mean. Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
All right. You have one for us? You have I wish I didn't know that?
Yeah. I wish I didn't know that the Virginia Tech
massacre dude.
Uh-huh.
Went off just because he got a 96 on his math test.
And he hung up. Little boy. I wish I didn't know that caller. This one's going to be a slow burn. This one. We might be heading into... it's kind of that section of the topics. Some of the topics we put on the table, easy as pie. That's your favorite kind of cookie. I like chocolate chip. I like sugar cookies. I like peanut butter cookies. Easy. Anybody can say anything about it. Some of the other topics, not as easy. Admittedly, there is no worse topic we've ever had on the show than Turk 182 it, which was legendarily bad. It was kind of letting me be like Turk 182 from that movie. And that topic crashed and burned very hard and quick. It was over before it began. I don't think we got one call on that. Now this topic, I wish I didn't know that. It's got a little more universal appeal. 201-209-9368. This is not a Turk 182 it. I know it. I got a good feeling about this topic. What are things that you wish you didn't know once you heard them? Kind of like in the movie 8mm, which I have used as an example many times when Joaquin Phoenix says to Nicolas Cage, there are certain, if you go into this world, there are certain things you're going to see. You can't unsee them. What are the things you wish you could unsee? 201-209-9368. I wish I didn't know that. I didn't want to know that Alex Baldwin was like, I had like anger problems. I didn't want to know that. I just wanted him to be the funny guy on 30 Rock. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Nate.
Hey, Nate, where are you calling from?
Brooklyn again.
Brooklyn. How are things in Brooklyn tonight?
Pretty good.
What part of Brooklyn?
Park Slope.
Very nice. So what is it, Nate, that you wish you didn't know?
I wish I didn't know that the world was not black and white before 1950.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, seeing early movies, from the 40s, I used to think as a child that the world actually was black and white before 1950.
Oh, you mean literally, like from movies, you thought that color showed up one day.
Yeah, exactly. They invented color and the world became amazing, apparently.
Now, how old were you when you finally realized that, Nate?
Probably about 8, I would say. 7, 8.
Uh-huh. Watching a lot of black and white movies?
Oh, yeah. Tarzan. Yes.
Abbott and Costello?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, Abbott and, who's worse, Abbott and Costello or Laurel and Hardy?
That's Laurel and Hardy, definitely.
That's a two-way tie for last. I'm sorry. Well, thanks, Nate. What's that, Mike? Mike likes Laurel and Hardy. Nate likes Abbott and Costello. Sounds like a feud. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick, where are you calling from?
I don't even know. Marlboro right now, maybe? Aberdeen.
Okay, so you're on the road?
I'm on the road.
All right. So what is it, Patrick, that you wish you didn't know?
I wish I had never seen some of the more extreme, gory pictures on the internet, with suicide and whatnot.
I don't watch that stuff. I don't want to know that. I don't watch it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it. I never watched the Saddam Hussein thing. I didn't watch the horrible, any of that terrible execution stuff. I want no part of it. I don't need to see it.
That's honorable. I wish I could say the same, and I see it, and then I, you know, hate myself for it.
You got to draw the line, buddy, just like Aerosmith said. Draw the line. Tonight's a show, maybe tonight's about all of us learning to draw the line. It could be a topic. In fact, it might be the topic now, being that this one's flaming out. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Forrest.
Hey, Forrest. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan.
Do you hate the movie Forrest Gump? Yes.
Yes, I think that's probably pretty obvious.
Yeah. Were you mad when you first heard about that book?
Well, I honestly wasn't aware of the book until the movie came out. Mm-hmm. What can I say?
And then all of a sudden, how many times in your life have people said to you, run, Forrest, run? How many times?
Countless. I would say thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands. It still happens almost daily.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen on this call. So what is it, Forrest, that you wish you didn't know, that makes you say, I wish I didn't know that?
What eats at me is when there's like a movie star that I really like, and I've seen a lot of their stuff, and then they make an appearance on late night TV, mm-hmm. and I find out that they're British, when all along I thought they were American.
Like who?
I'm going to be honest, actually I think he was Australian, but I was a fan of the Hugh Jackman guy for a while. Mm-hmm. Did not even realize, not an American, and, you know, as a patriot, that eats me up.
You support American product, whether it be actors, actresses, automobiles.
You got it.
Sandwiches. Thanks, Forrest.
Thanks, Tom.
FMU, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
I'm all right. Who is this? So formal.
This is Christopher Rhode Island calling.
I thought I was talking to Spike for a second.
Oh, no.
Good evening. Now, Spike doesn't say good evening. He says,
Hello, Tom.
Yes. You had like a Dracula thing.
Really?
Good evening.
Good evening, yes. So, I have something for the topic.
Sure. What is it, Christopher?
I really don't think it's necessary that I know what Marv Albert does in the bedroom.
I agree with you. I don't want to know it neither.
It must have been a slow news month. I mean, don't we have bigger fish to fry, really?
For that to have caught fire, yes. You know what I say? I wish I didn't know that.
We need the Turk 180 to it.
Well, please... Please don't associate this topic with that now.
I think that the Turk 180 to it will catch on as sort of a cult topic.
A cult topic, yeah. So it will be this topic that will just build underground, and then all of a sudden it's people are calling like, hey, Tom, I got something. I want you to Turk 180 to it.
Yeah, it's the slanted and enchanted of best show topics.
Wow. I don't like it.
You love it.
Hey, you can't steal my, that's like stepping in and stealing a line from Horseshack. That's like if another kid in that class went, ooh, right as he was raising his hand. Shameful.
I apologize.
You know what? It's okay. You're a good guy in my book.
Thank you so much.
You have a good night, Christopher.
You too. Huh. Bye.
201-209-9368. What is it that you wish you could say? I wish I didn't know that. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Julia in Toronto.
Wow. How are you? I played the opening theme, which you are a member of the band on that.
Indeed, the band of two.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Anytime.
How is Toronto?
Toronto is, spring has sprung here.
Are the trees in bloom?
They are.
Are you sad that the Raptors are going to get crushed tonight?
No.
By the New Jersey Nets?
I honestly could care less.
That New Jersey will once again assert its dominance over the world.
Sure. In the world of basketball, no problem.
Teaching the people of Toronto how it's really done, Jersey style.
You bet.
What if there was a Toronto-based Sopranos? Wouldn't that be good?
Sadly, it'd probably be very boring.
We go to shipment the poutine coming in, and we got it, it fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah, the cheese curds fell off the back of the truck.
I would watch that.
Well, yeah, you would watch it, and Toronto wouldn't.
Exactly. I'm fascinated by the television in Toronto.
I know.
Heart
you know more
Annex.
About it than I do.
Heart of the Annex. That's my favorite show.
I walk through the Annex frequently, but never watch the show.
You should. It'll make you feel like you're on the set of a television program.
But the Deadly Snakes theme song, I'll tune in for that.
Well, how can you turn your back on it? It sounds like it's tailor-made for you.
I got to watch King of Kensington, because that's the neighborhood I live in.
Okay. And that's like the All in the Family of Toronto?
Yeah, so, sort of. Less, I don't know, cutting edge.
A little more like a gentle All in the Family.
Yeah.
Well, what is it that you wish you didn't know?
Well, it's kind of embarrassing, so I thought it would be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Terminator 2. When that movie came out, I was 13.
Okay.
And I developed a massive tween crush on Edward Furlong.
Okay.
With his asymmetrical haircut.
Yes.
Yeah. And
his hair was shaped like a corn muffin.
Yeah, an asymmetrical. Lopsided,
yeah,
corn muffin.
Like a poorly baked corn muffin.
Yeah. From the sketchy coffee shop.
Exactly. Made by some weird hippie.
Anyway, I found out recently, thanks to Paycheck, that he sent me his MySpace page.
So Edward Furlong is on MySpace.
Yeah. And apparently he's trying to start a singing career.
Oh, brother.
And oh my lord, he does a cover of The Doors' "People Are Strange."
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't need to say any more. But the 13-year-old me totally broke up with him.
You're done with Edward Furlong now.
Yeah, it's over.
What is it like? What's the arrangement like on it? Is it kind of like too rockin'? Does it have that kind of guitar that's that?
Oh, I wish. It's like bad karaoke.
Okay.
It's like American Idol.
And he's over-singing it?
No, not really. I mean, I haven't listened to it recently. I mean, I think I heard half of it and had to turn it off, but
so he's got no voice?
No, it's sort of like talk singing, you know?
Kind of like Rex Harrison or Joe Namath.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you mean? You didn't get that references?
I'm not going to pretend.
I'm
not going to be one of your callers going like, oh, yeah, sure, that's hilarious, Tom. Like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You want to know what?
I'll admit.
You got character. It shows me you've got character. You've got spine. You didn't even play along with it, because that's when you get bit. If you were to go, yeah, and then I was to say, like, hey, what about Joe Namath? And then you're like, hey, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You handled it like a champ.
Why, thank you, sir.
All right, well, you have a good night, Julia.
You too.
Okay,
okay, bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? My name's Dom. I'm calling in. I'm listening over here in good old Milford, Pennsylvania.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of like the boonies out here, man. I'm hearing crickets and WFM.
I don't like the feel of that call. What's that, Mike? No. Guy's trying to sell me on something. Like it felt like he was going to start trying to sell me Amway. Like, so I'm out here having a good time. Like, he's just giving me this preamble that I didn't need. Just get to it, son. The topic isn't call up with your life story. Set the mood first when you call. Where are you? What are the sounds near you? What are the smells? What's it like where you're at? Then we can move on to the topic. No! I got places to go. Didn't that guy realize? Hey, wait, actually, there's nobody calling. I wish that guy would call back. I'm so sorry. Sir, please, guy out in Milford, Pennsylvania, please call back. (201) 209-9368 We got Mike on the other side of the glass, the associate producer, working hard, screening calls like a champ. People can't just get right on. They got to get past the gatekeeper. So anyway, I wish I didn't know that. The topic on the table. Remember, the video art contest in full effect. You can go to friendsoftom.com, go to the message board, and you can look up all kinds of information on it. There's a whole other room just for that. People doing their interpretations of the show. Of their favorite moments and things, doing like a little video or art interpretation, visual interpretation. It's a contest we have going on. It's going to go on for a long time. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't get started on your entry now. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Who's this?
I'd rather not use my real name tonight. I'll go by Mulligan.
Mulligan.
Yes. But I'm calling about the topic.
All right, Mulligan.
I went to art school.
I gotta say, I don't like your choice of, you couldn't just say, you had to make a big production about, now everybody's listening closely to your voice, trying to figure out who you are. You could have just said, hey Tom, it's Denny, how you doing tonight?
No, you're right.
Would have noted. Now all of a sudden it's like, who's Mulligan?
Yeah, well, Mulligan doesn't sound at all like a fake name.
The mystery of Mulligan. Who is he? Who is this mystery man? Now everybody's paying attention. You're going to get busted now because you had to be a hot shot. I don't want to tell you who I am. My name is, let's just say my name is Mulligan tonight. I don't have to be known by any name that my actual name. That's none of your business. Just admit. You're nobody. What? You're nobody. There's no reason for you to be doing it. You could have used your own name, and no one would have noticed.
It's true. It's true. But but my call relates to a member of my family, so I don't know.
What are the odds of your family listening?
Well, 50%, I would say.
Well, you want to know what, Mulligan?
Well, yes.
Now they definitely know it's you.
You're right, you're right.
Because they've heard you talk for 4 minutes before you even told the story that they're going to recognize.
But at least they know that I tried to conceal, like, if they heard me, then at least they know that I tried to conceal.
You want to know what, Mulligan? You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Let's hear the story.
Okay.
What is it, Mulligan, that you wish you didn't know, that makes you say, I wish I didn't know that?
I wish I didn't know that. It was when I was a freshman in college, and I had made a rule. I didn't drink. I didn't drink coffee. I promised myself I wouldn't dye my hair, pierce myself, get a tattoo. I was that kind of guy. But everyone around me were going out to parties and drinking.
Kind of guy. So you wouldn't get pierced or get tattoos? Wow, what a weirdo.
Right? Well, in art school, it's a different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but so I was just like, you know, and so I was calling my parents, you know, and they were asking me how things are going. I'm like, oh, you know, people are okay. There's a lot more, you know, a lot of people drink, which I'm not, you know, not into. And my mom, trying to make me feel better, was encouraging me to experiment. She's like, oh, you know, I used to drink in college, and you know, it was okay, and I met a lot of neat people. And then she revealed that she smoked marijuana and all these other things, and I wish I hadn't known that.
You wish you didn't know about your mother's sordid past.
Yeah, which I guess I could have guessed, I suppose, but I still didn't want to hear. I didn't want her to try and console me by revealing that to me, too, which made it sort of a double-edged thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's me.
Well, Mulligan, Thanks for calling, buddy. I got to say, it has been very interesting hearing you ruin your family on the show tonight.
Well, I'm glad someone's entertained by it.
Someone just called. Your mother just got fired.
Oh, good Lord. I better call her, I guess.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
Mulligan, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
201-209-9368. What are the things you wish you didn't know? The thing you wish you didn't hear. For me, it was this whole Alex Baldwin thing. I didn't want to know it. It's not my business. Really, Edward Furlong? People are strange when you're a stranger. Please, don't let us bore you. I think the guy was singing it at gunpoint. Best show on WFMU. 201-209-9368. What are the things where you say, I wish I didn't know that? FMU, you're on your on the air.
Yeah, hi, it's Dom calling in again. I lost you before.
Yeah, we got disconnected somehow. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Yeah, sorry about that little preamble I gave you before. But, you know, first time I'm calling a radio station.
No, you're all right. You know what? My apology. I rushed to judgment. I apologize to you, Dom.
You know what? I accept. Thank you. Thank you.
So tell us, Dom, what are the things that you wish you didn't know? What makes you say, I wish I didn't know that?
I wake up every day, my man, and I say, I wish I didn't know that the world was going to end soon. You know, it kind of bothers me. I wake up every day, and I'm like, is today going to be the day? Is today going to be the day they're going to push the button? They're going to, you know, to launch all the rockets.
Hey,
I wish I could have been one of those people, you know, that just get in their Hummer H3s every day, fill it up with super. Not giving a crap, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, buddy. I hope I didn't know that, too.
You know?
Hang in there, though. The world's not going to end right just yet.
Yeah, there's still a little partying left, right?
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, boy. Sounded like Captain Jack out in the woods. That might have Mike just asked if that was the first "my man," and I think it was. That was the first "my man" in the history of the best show. And this is the first time that we play a song called CIA on the best show. Ted Leo. WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, Worldwide and World Wide Web at WFMU.org. This is the best show on WFMU. My name's Tom Sharpling. I am here with you for another 2 hours. 2 hours. We just heard from Ted Leo and the Pharmacists from their album Living with the Living. CIA. CIA, you see, I ain't kidding. Right? Good stuff from Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, holding it down. Are they playing this weekend? Is it this weekend? Yes? Can't remember. Maybe. Is the number. I'm the best show on WFMU. FMU, you are on the air.
Yes. Hello, Thomas.
Yes?
I would like to second what the gentleman said earlier about the finding out that the actor that you like,
mm-hmm.
who plays an American, is in fact English or Australian, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's something that you don't like?
I don't like. I'm a big fan of the TV show called CSI.
Yes.
And there's a woman on it, not Marg Helgenberger,
mm-hmm.
but this other woman, she plays Sophia, kind of a newish character.
Okay.
And you think that she's American, but it turns out she's English.
Okay,
I don't like it.
Okay, I don't watch CSI. What's your name, caller?
Pardon me?
What is your name, caller?
You don't remember me.
No, I don't.
It's Bishop Fontana.
Bishop Fontana, yes, I remember. You called a long time ago.
We spoke several years ago. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm doing okay.
That's good.
Now, you are a part of which church?
The New Bridge Diocese.
That's right. You're in. Okay.
Yes. Are you enjoying this bountiful evening?
Yes, I am, Bishop. Thank you for calling. Actually,
it is quite bountiful. No.
Yes, that's actually a good way to put it. Tonight is a bountiful evening.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now you know where I heard your name recently? Was last week, actually. A caller mentioned you. A guy named Bryce Prefontaine.
Oh, of course. I know Bryce, yes.
Okay. He actually is a regular caller to the program.
Okay.
And he actually mentioned your name the first time I heard your name in a long time.
This was last week, yes.
This was last week, and he was talking about kind of all the problems people were having in Newbridge, and you were actually one of the people he mentioned.
I was having the same kind of problem that young Bryce was having, too.
Okay.
I don't know if he told you the particulars.
He had mentioned something to the effect that some desserts got
funnel cake. And I keep forgetting, I heard this on the street, too. You didn't know about any of this as it was happening because you were laid up in the hospital with some sort of upset stomach or something?
Yeah, well, it was more than an upset stomach, actually. But, yes, I was in the hospital, so I missed all this stuff.
Did you try Tums?
What's that?
Did you try Tums?
Tums?
Yes. That always works for me when I have indigestion?
I didn't exactly have indigestion. I had a kidney stone and I had complications with it.
Well, if it happens again and you get your belly ache, it comes back. I want you to just remember this little song. Tums for Tums, Tom Tom. Tums for Tums, Tom Tom.
Well, I'll try to remember that song. Next
sing
time.
It. Do you want to sing it, too?
What do you mean? Tums for Tums, Tom.
No, sing with me.
Yeah, I'm trying. Tom.
No, I count it off.
Okay, you count it off.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Sorry.
No, you don't come on the end of 4, and you come in on the 1.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Tums for Tums, Tom. Okay.
Yes.
I will remember that,
okay.
Bishop.
I don't like Maalox. It's okay. It's too chalky. It gets on my robes.
It gets on your robes. Okay.
I steer clear of that.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So just in summary, for anybody who might not have heard it, there was a sort of a, I guess it would be kind of like a drug spiking epidemic went through town.
That went through, yes. Basically what happened, two of the people from my church, two German boys, they wanted me to come to their thing at the biannual Colonial Day celebration.
Yeah, which is an event throughout town where
exactly.
where all the technology is kind of disallowed.
Which I don't normally go to. And I'll tell you why. I don't think I look that good in the tight clothing, in the breeches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ruffled shirt is fine, but the breeches, no thank you. I don't like that.
It is a hard look to pull off.
Too form-fitting. I don't know how your forefathers dealt with that.
Yeah. So
I think you know what I'm talking about, right? Rüttiger and Werner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. Werner and Rüttiger, the two German gentlemen.
So we all got kind of hooked on the powdered sugar that they were putting on the funnel cakes?
Yeah, which was cocaine.
Yes.
But are you better now?
I'm much better now. I'm clean and sober. All the people who were in with me are also, and we're very excited. And I know you are probably very excited about the big announcement on, I think it was Saturday.
I don't know which big announcement you're talking about.
Well, it was announced on Saturday that His Holiness Pope Benedict the 16th.
Yes.
He will be coming to Manhattan.
Oh, I actually did hear that.
It is going to be an incredible papal visit.
That will be exciting. When is that?
Now, the Vatican has been very tight-lipped about when this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been told that it will be fairly soon.
Okay.
And I want to tell you, I have big plans for His Holiness's visit.
Okay. So when he comes to Manhattan, you'll be a part of that festivities?
Oh, no.
Those festivities?
Oh, no, Thomas.
No?
Are you strapped in?
Sure, I'm strapped in.
You have helmet on?
I don't have a helmet on, Bishop.
You better put it on, because what I'm going to tell you is going to blow your mind off.
Well, I don't literally have a helmet here, but I'm...
I thought you were going to say I don't literally have a mind.
No, I actually don't have a helmet.
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, I'm going to do everything I can to bring the pontiff to Newbridge.
Yeah, you're going to bring the Pope.
Oh, yes.
He's visiting Manhattan.
Yes.
And you want to bring him an hour away to Newbridge.
See.
Okay, and how are you going to do that?
Well, I want to show him the glory of our great town. It is, after all, the jewel of the Queen Cities.
It definitely is.
And
your ire
is still raised. That Pope John Paul II, he actually came to Tribridge in 1979. Do you remember that?
I was a kid then. I do remember something about that.
Well, he bypassed Newbridge.
Oh, so you okay? So you want to correct that by having?
I do. And Bishop McMillan over at St. Paul's in Tribridge,
mm-hmm.
he still ribs me about that during our fantasy hockey matches.
I'm sorry, during what?
Our fantasy hockey matches.
What is a fantasy? Oh, fantasy. Okay.
Yes. What
hockey
did you think
match.
I said?
Well, you said fantasy. I wasn't sure.
Oh.
What are your fantasy or fantasy hockey matches?
Well, it's like fantasy baseball. Or football, but it's hockey.
Okay.
Minor league hockey.
Oh, so you do a draft and you pick different players
exactly.
from...
Exactly. See,
from,
yes.
For minor league hockey?
Oh, it's fun, yes.
Huh. Well, that does... I guess I would not be very good at that. I'm not very knowledgeable about minor league hockey.
Well, it is not for everybody. But mm-hmm. you know what is for everybody?
What's that?
The Pope coming to Newbridge.
Well, that would be...
You know why?
Why is that?
Because the main reason I want the Pope to come is so he can help us with the sinkhole situation.
Oh, yeah. The sinkhole, which...
It is terrible.
It's pretty bad. For anybody who doesn't live or in Newbridge or know about it, there's a sinkhole on the edge of town that, you know...
Up by Lake Newbridge.
Yeah, and it's kind of a big problem now.
Where Tinkerbell's tennis teepee was until it sunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was over near the, what's that place called? The DVD Den?
It was the offshoot of the CD Submarine, yes.
Yes,
Did you ever go there?
I did go in there a couple times. It seemed like that place was very... I guess it seemed like it was just a bad idea. Like one of those businesses that's doomed from the start, you know?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it was, for people who don't know, the DVD Den, they had, throughout the entire store, there were all these giant, oversized, like overstuffed couches. And the DVDs were kind of, tucked into the cushions.
Kind of like how you would lose your keys or something, and you would look under the cushion, and you would find your keys. Only there were hundreds of DVDs under each cushion.
Which I mean, might be a fun gimmick. Once you know, I if you were to do that at home, when you're going to a store and you're looking for a copy of a DVD,
like I want to find Clifford.
Yeah,
but I don't know what cushion it's under. I found Network, but I can't find Clifford.
Yeah. What movie is that?
Clifford.
Clifford. Oh, Clifford, yes. I like that movie a lot.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
But getting back to the sinkhole,
mm-hmm.
It's on the news every night. And it's getting bigger and bigger. You know that gentleman who's the chief of the Newbridge Fire Department?
What is his name again?
Chief Lappleton.
Oh, yeah.
He told me he works with your brother, Darren.
Yes, Darren.
Over at Consolidated Cardboard.
Mm, yeah.
Is it not odd that his parents named him Chief when he was born? Like, they knew that he was going to be, like, a leader of some sort?
That is interesting. I didn't know that was his
first name. His first name is Chief.
Uh-huh.
It's Chief Ray Poppleton.
Well, I'll have to ask Darren about that at work.
Oh, you should. You know, you're going to be seeing a major Bless the Sinkhole campaign starting very soon.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get signatures of everyone in Newbridge on a petition to give to the Vatican.
So that we can get the Pope to the sinkhole to try to bless it?
Absolutely, he's going to bless it. And you're going to be soon hearing a special anthem on the radio.
Okay.
It's called "The Sinking Feeling Has Got to End."
Okay, and that's, what is that, like a... like a charity thing, or
absolutely. I think Craig and I really wrote an anthem to rival "Do They Know It's Christmas."
Who is Craig?
Craig Finn.
Craig Finn. I know that name.
Oh, you should. You work at a radio station.
Is he in Hold Steady?
Yes. Why?
So you, the bishop, you know Craig Finn from the Hold Steady?
Of course, I do.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, how?
Oh, Craig and I have been friends for a couple of years. I met him at a club called Southpaw.
Southpaw in Brooklyn.
Exactly, yes. I was counseling a member of the band that was actually opening for the Hold Steady.
Uh-huh. Who was that?
Well, I don't want to say who the band was, but... Oh, you know, I guess I can because they've since broken up.
Okay.
It was the singer for a band from Greenpoint called I Hate You, the Ghost of Anwar Sadat.
Okay, well...
And that's with an exclamation point.
And you were counseling him.
At the beginning.
Okay. And you were... Well, I guess maybe you... Since the band broke up...
Yes.
I don't think that gives... It's not like he passed away and you're revealing who he was.
Oh, I don't think it's that bad. But anyway, this singer, he was in turmoil. His band had just gotten a terrible panning on that website, shovel.com.
Uh-huh.
They got a 3.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Oh, and the worst part was that the guy that reviewed it...
Yeah.
He was the guitarist in the band, using a different name.
So the guitarist from that band hated...
I Hate You, the Ghost of Anwar Sadat.
He hated... his own band.
Well, he wanted to break up the band and start a new band.
Okay.
I've actually seen the new band. They're decent.
And what are they called?
They're called The Dude.
The Dude.
Which is a reference to what, Thomas?
Is that Big Lebowski?
That's correct.
Okay.
Which is a film I'm still not sold on. I know you are a fan of it, though.
Yeah, yes, I am, Bishop.
Raising Arizona, I quite liked.
That's more your speed?
I think so, yes.
It's always... Now, you are a man of the cloth.
That is correct.
And you are so up on...
I like to know what the children are liking.
Mm-hmm.
What the kids like.
Okay. Well, that,
absolutely.
I think that's fair enough.
Yes, and it helps me, you know, stay in touch and give counsel like I did for that member of I Hate You, the Ghost of Anwar Sadat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it lets you can get a shorthand going with people like
absolutely. I want to tell you about what I have planned for the Pope, though.
Okay.
You're still strapped in.
I am still strapped in. Yes.
Well, I want you to check this out, and if you have any comments, I would be open to them because I respect you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, he gets here, and I want to take him for breakfast at Pancake Promenade. You know, at the Commons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little shopping. There's talk of Lady Foot Locker coming back open by August.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
The Lady Foot Locker, which has been gone for a few years.
Yes, that is the word on the street.
Okay.
And then we will go to Muffler Row and watch Officer Harrop's chase criminals.
So the Pope, you're going to bring the Pope down to Muffler Row.
See?
And show him... the chief of police chasing after criminals.
Absolutely. They're going to be letting some of the less violent criminals out of jail for the afternoon so Officer Harrop can round them up and then shoot them.
And shoot them?
Oh, do not worry, Thomas. The bullets only cause pain. They don't end lives.
how is that possible?
There's a special bullet that Kern Pharmaceuticals is putting together just for this occasion.
A special bullet?
Yes.
That doesn't kill people?
Exactly. In theory, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
Well, then we're going to go to the Newbridge Theater for a very special command performance.
Uh-huh. And what will that be?
Open Water.
Open Water?
Yes.
The movie Open Water?
No. The Newbridge Repertory Theater is putting it on. It's the first ever stage performance of Open Water. Why?
But is it based on the movie?
It's basically the same thing as the movie, yes.
So it's a theater production of a movie where it was two people stuck in the middle of the ocean being surrounded by sharks.
That is true.
And, well, how is that? How is that even possible to stage?
Well, I've heard they're going to use some sort of big tank or something. It sounds great, no?
It sounds weird.
Well, life is weird, is it not, Thomas?
Life is actually weird.
That's true.
So you want the Pope to go see this taping, this stage presentation...
Oh, yes.
...of the movie Open Water.
Absolutely. And you know what we're going to do next?
What?
We're going to head over to the Newbridge Sports Arena.
Okay.
For guess what?
I don't know.
A slap fighting demonstration.
So you want the Pope will watch a slap fighting competition?
Oh, he will do more than that, Thomas. I can't wait to see the Pontiff get in the nonagon and show off his stuff.
What? Okay, now that's just so you want the Pope. He's actually going to get in and participate in a slap fight.
I've told Keith and the other members of the Red Faces not to go too easy on the Pope, though. You know what I mean? He's older, yes, but he should be tough enough.
Are you sure? How are you going to get the Pope to go along with this?
He's going to do it. Did you know that Pope JP II loved to slap fight also?
No, I didn't.
That was a big bone of contention between him and the current Pope. See, the current Pope was his kind of minder back then. And the current Pope, he did not like slap fighting. But JP, too, he would get in an hour of slap fighting every morning.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I thought he was more of a swimmer.
Well, that was sort of the, you know, the cover.
Uh-huh.
You know, that he would swim every morning. But that was actually a load of S hit.
Okay.
Yes.
So he actually...
The first thing he did when he got in the Vatican was to install a nonagon.
There's a nonagon in the Vatican.
Absolutely. It's kind of dormant now because of the new pope.
But so you're hoping to get the new pope interested in slap fighting.
Absolutely, yes. That is true.
So you think a good slap fight competition, which for people who don't know, it's a kind of an... is it an underground...
Everybody knows.
I really don't think everybody knows.
I know they do.
It's... No, I'm going to still say not everybody knows.
Okay,
it's a sport... Basically, where guys and women slap
Absolutely.
Each other and try to just win a slap fight. Right?
Yes, that is true.
And you think that the Pope is going to get involved in a slap fight?
I think once he sees the action, once he sees Keith Garfinkel lay the hand on the other guy's face,
mm-hmm.
make that big... palm print, I think he's going to say, oh, let me in there.
Well?
Let me into that nonagon. And I should say, after we apply the post-slap creams and salves to his face,
sure.
Then we're going to go to Newbridge Acres.
Newbridge Acres.
That's where we were, remember?
Which is the kind of the is it a clinic?
Well, they call it the Betty Ford Clinic of the Quin Cities.
Yes. And it's where everybody has been kind of getting over this this kind of...
The white lady.
Yeah, the coke problem that everyone in town was hit by.
Well, Tom, you make it sound like we're all evil or something. I mean, I am a man of the cloth, but I am flesh and bone, too, just like you.
That is true, and you...
Just like young Bryce.
Yes, and...
Just like Judge Davies.
Yup.
Just like young Reggie Monroe. Well, not quite like Reggie Monroe. See, I did not go on a flagrant pant rummage on national TV, did I?
Yeah. No, he had a whole other thing. He might be a little...
He has
you're
problems.
Right. He might be a little different.
I'm counseling him right now.
Okay.
You don't want to know what he's up to now.
You know what?
Jeepers.
I don't want to know, and I really don't think it's the audience's...
Okay. Okay.
I don't think they should know either.
Well, I can't wait to introduce the Pope to Wilhelm when we get to Newbridge Acres.
Mm-hmm. Wilhelm, who is the... Is he the brother of those other guys?
Of who?
Of the two German guys.
Well, he's German. I never thought that he was related to them, but I know that the Pope, after he meets Wilhelm, will end up sainting him. After he tries some of his herbal remedy?
The herbal remedy,
yes.
which is called blue?
It's called blue. Oh, you've heard of blue?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, to
it's
me...
It's a holy experience, Thomas.
No offense, Bishop. I do,
See?
You know, all due respect.
See?
I do, it seems like blue, which is this thing that everybody took to kind of help beat the coke problem... It seems like blue might be as bad or even worse.
Have you tried it yet?
Definitely not.
I'm going to try it soon. I mean, I've tried it, but I haven't applied it today yet.
And it's in the form of like a lip balm.
It's like a lip balm, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's very, 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 very good.
And you don't see it just as moving sideways with your problem.
I see it almost as a sacrament.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
Oh, no, it's not. Hey, I haven't told you about how the night will end with the Pope
mm-hmm.
when he comes to Newbridge.
Okay, how will it end?
Well, the end of the night is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that no other Pope has ever had before.
Okay.
It's a concert performance by the band.
By the band?
No, the band.
The band?
From MTV's Making the Band 2.
Oh, wow. I have... Not, I completely forgot about Da Band.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you've forgotten about Dylan?
Dylan?
E. Babs?
Who?
Babs?
Babs, that's right.
Ines? E. Fred?
Uh-huh, yeah. And who else was there?
Chopper.
Chopper.
How could you forget Chopper?
I, you know what? I guess I kind of
he's
pretty
from
easily.
The Big Easy.
He was from the Big Easy.
That is true.
So you are going to arrange for Da Band.
Exactly.
Who was a kind of prefabricated band.
Says you.
Says me.
Naysayer.
Okay, that you're going to have them perform for the Pope.
Hopefully they will do Bad Boy This, Bad Boy That, and maybe some other deep cuts.
Well,
and then they will field questions from His Holiness for about 2 hours, I guess.
Oh, so you think the Pope is going to have 2 hours worth of questions?
I don't see why he would not. I mean, I would bring him up to speed on the limo ride.
Uh-huh.
Oh, speaking of which, yeah. That limo will be provided, it's specially made by Gene Simmons Toyota.
Really?
Yes.
So they're providing the limo.
They are.
That'll take the Pope all throughout Newbridge.
See.
Si. Wow. Well, that is surprising. I didn't think they were in the business. I didn't think the Pope would be forced to use a transportation provided by the bassist from Kiss's car dealership.
Well, I think that it's just one more incentive. And speaking of, this is where you come in.
Okay.
One of the ways I want to get my foot in the door on this whole thing is to send a gift basket to His Holiness.
Okay.
With lots of Newbridge-centric items, batter-buttled burgers, one of Troy Renfro's Steelers jerseys, a pony keg of Quint City Stout, a $20 gift certificate to Denim-Clad Dad, and a gold muffler signed by yours truly.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine the Pope not using a $20 gift certificate for Denim-Clad Dad.
Do you think that is too much?
Well, I think that it's just... I think you could give him a $1,000 gift certificate and he would not use it.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, how about this? You know Craig Cooper?
Oh, over at Radio Hut.
Sure, yeah. Well, he's donated a Hut Pod.
Okay.
And this is where you come in.
Uh-huh.
I want you to help me come up with a suitable playlist for
okay.
the Pontiff.
All right. Like what kind of music are you thinking?
Well, so far I've got lots of Newbridge things. Mother 13, The Hey Whoa, Barbershop Sweat, Iron's Reggae Challenge, Gas Station Dogs. I've even got some White Tiger on there. I know it's cheesy, but it's mm-hmm. part of our history, no?
I guess it is, yeah. Iron's Reggae Challenge.
Yes.
I completely forgot about that band.
That's a decent EP.
Uh-huh. So what else would you like to put on it?
Well, I've got lots of Pope-specific themed music, but pretty much most of Born to Quit.
Oh, Born to Quit?
Yes.
What is that again?
That's the Smoking Pope's first album.
Oh, okay. So that you think that just because they have Popes in the name of the band?
Well, no. I mean, I've got that. I've got When in Rome, I Do the Jerk by Rocket from the Crypt, too.
Okay.
Stuff like that. But I wanted to know if you could help me get some exclusive content.
Exclusive content? Like what kind of stuff?
Well, like, you know, Craig and the Hold Steady are donating a song, a specific song, and the Minions are also giving us an exclusive track.
Okay, who are the Minions again?
They're a Dr. Dog side band.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on Vava Records.
You got me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could work your magic on Georgia, Ira, and James.
Yola Tango.
Exactly. I would love to get an MP3 of them doing, I don't know, like a musical version of Sam Kinison's Robopope.
I can try.
Maybe Disco Pope by the Pratts?
You know what? I'll ask. There's no harm in asking.
You know the Pratts, right?
I know the name. I'm drawing a blank, though.
Well, they were one of those now-forgotten rough trade bands from the 70s.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's where
they're they're on the box.
They're on the box. You have the rough trade box?
Of course I do.
Wow.
We're also trying to get the Vatican Commandos back together. Do you remember them?
I do remember that name.
It's kind of slow going, though. Everyone, only Moby has said yes so far.
That was his band, right?
Yes, a hardcore band, but he's the only guy that wants to do it.
Well, that's weird. I would have thought that he might be the last guy that would get on board.
Well, I guess the other guys, they have lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of which, I'm actually late for the movies right now. My wife just texted. She's at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I better splitski soon.
Well, what movie are you going to see?
Excuse me?
What movie are you going to see?
Next.
Oh, then, that Nicolas Cage movie?
Wait, what was that noise?
Wait. I went, ugh.
Why?
Well, it seems like a terrible... Wait, did you say your wife?
See. Why?
Well, okay. You're a bishop, right?
That is true.
I didn't think you could get married.
I've been married for about 15 years, yes.
Well, a bishop
can't... To Deirdre.
I didn't think a bishop could be married.
Well, no one's ever told me anything different. I mean, I don't advertise it.
Well, I don't think you can, though. I mean, did you
really?
Ever... Yeah, did you ever check?
Not really, no.
You never checked?
No.
To see if
a... You don't think I'm in trouble, do you?
I would think you might be in a lot of trouble.
I'm just glad I'm not on the air.
Well, yeah, you most definitely are on the air, Bishop.
Wait, what?
Yes, you are on the air,
no.
Bishop. I don't even know why I'm calling you Bishop at this point, because that will
Jeepers.
Be that will be something of the past.
You better not rat me out.
Well, I'm not going to rat you out, but you kind of just put this over the air for anyone to hear.
Oh, no. Oh, jeepers. Jeepers creepers. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't even know the first thing about how you would remedy this situation.
I don't know. But so you really don't think that Next is going to be good? Because I still love Valley Girl.
Well, it's been a long time since Valley Girl.
I like the time where he turns to the girl and goes, "That synth music you guys listen to is gutless."
So
he had a point.
You really are more concerned about that, though.
Well, I don't want to blow the $11 each.
No, about you being married. That somehow, you seem to have moved on pretty quickly from that.
Oh, we can work it out, as they said. Los well, Beatles.
I think you've got it. You've got a long road ahead of you. That's not something you can just gloss over.
You don't worry about it. You let me figure it out, okay? But I got a blaze now, okay?
Okay, Bishop.
Bless you, my son.
Oh, well, thank you. Wow. How about that? You know what? It's nice not to get threatened. For once in my life. Somebody not threatening my life. Somebody not telling me how it is. Saying they're going to get me. Enough. Enough's enough. Drawing the line. This is where the line gets drawn. Part Chimp. Best Show is back. 1 hour and 17 minutes to go. Fast track. I got Mike in the other room, associate producer. He's telling me this is an L. He's telling me this tonight's a loss. He says it's going to be the first of 2007. So I'm cruising to a defeat. First of the year. I got to prove him wrong. He's gloating in there, like he makes money on it or something. Very dispiriting. Very dispiriting. We just heard from the Styrenes, Drano in My Veins, the demo version of that. Also taken from the Babylon's Burning 4 CD set, which we will be hearing a lot from over the next few weeks. All kinds of live and demos and non-LP B-sides and fun things. And Part Chimp started us off from their new album, Cup, on the Monitor record label. We heard Bring Back the Sound, Drawing the Line. Best Show, Drawing the Line. Tommy Tornado, Drawing the Line. No More Malarkey. My life is now a malarkey-free zone. You hear that? You bring headaches, you're gone. Out. 201-209-9368. Where were we? I went to see the movie Hot Fuzz the other day. I liked it. Thumbs up for Hot Fuzz. Those guys, you know what those guys did with Hot Fuzz? They did what Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino were supposed to do with Grindhouse. They took a genre. And instead of just aping it, they actually brought something to it. They made it entertaining. And they made it their own thing. Look, I don't need to go see Robert Rodriguez doing some tribute to some bad John Carpenter movie. Like, you know, when he was done with his part of the movie, he was like, you know what? He took a step back. He's like, I did it. That was as awful as any of those movies I grew up on. Not an accomplishment. But Hot Fuzz, I tip my hat. People were losing their stuff in the theater during the last half hour of Hot Fuzz. Did you see Hot Fuzz, Mike? Mike has not seen Hot Fuzz yet. But his brother liked it. ...201-209-9368. Maybe I'll do a thing where I'll have little... We don't do Open Phone Tuesday anymore. But what if I do a thing where we have little pockets where it's just open phone? So, 201-209-9368 for the next 3 minutes, Open Phone Tuesday. You don't need to talk about any topic that's on the table. 201-209-9368. There we go, the phones. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
What's that?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Who's this?
My name's Dylan. I live in Brooklyn.
How you doing, Dylan?
All right. I was just listening. I heard you bashing Grindhouse.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Okay.
I gotta say, that movie was incredible. And not only was the movie incredible, both movies, I mean, I could say Tarantino's part was a little all speech and dialogue, but
yeah,
it was still good.
Yeah, it's great. A great tribute to those great Grindhouse movies, like My Dinner with Andre, watching people just blab for 50 minutes.
I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Typical Grindhouse fan. Toilet mouth. Can't control himself. Just proved the point. You just proved the point about Grindhouse, you dummy. What, are you that stupid? What, you never talk on the phone at work? pretend this is work. What am I, your buddy? You don't know you're on the radio? You forgot that quickly, you dope? I love Grindhouse. Beep. Oh, what a dummy. Makes his point. That's the typical Grindhouse fan right there. An animal. Can't control themselves. Shameful. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Michelle.
Michelle, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the road, so I have you on my speakerphone because I don't want to get pulled over. But I heard you talk about Grindhouse and Hot Fuzz, which I saw both of them.
Yeah.
Really all three of them. And people walked out in the middle, like right in between the first, the Robert Rodriguez movie and the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah, it's because they had enough.
Did they have enough?
What? Yeah.
Did you like them?
Did I like what?
Did you like both Grindhouse?
No, I didn't like either of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really care for Quentin Tarantino as much.
Yeah, it was boring. It's good to know he's expanding it now, though.
What do you mean?
He's doing this extended version of it for the Cannes Film Festival, where he's like, I took the original version, and I tightened that thing up beyond belief to where it was, yeah. Omar, please find me that quote. Omar sent me the quote. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's now cracking it open. Finally, he's going to let that movie breathe. Oh, what a snooze. I almost walked out of it.
Really?
Yes, really.
I fell asleep during Quentin Tarantino's. I thought Planet Terror was all right. I thought it was pretty cool, actually. You know, girl with a machine gun on her leg. That's pretty hot.
Yeah. But did you like Hot Fuzz?
I loved Hot Fuzz.
Of course you did.
Hysterical.
They brought something to the table.
It did bring something to the table.
They didn't just replicate a bad movie.
They did not.
Thank you. You drive safely.
You too.
I'm not driving.
Well, later on, because it's raining.
You're right. Fair enough.
All right.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Well, I haven't seen either of those movies.
Okay.
And so I can't really continue on the conversation.
You know what? You're completely entitled. This is the Open Phone Tuesday section. You didn't have to talk about Grindhouse or Hot Fuzz or anything.
All right.
So what's going on tonight, Bonnie?
Well, I'm getting over this weekend. I went to prom.
You went to your prom?
Of mine.
Okay.
Yes.
Junior prom or senior prom?
Junior.
Okay.
And it just, you know, I've decided that proms are overrated. Or maybe they're just not my thing.
They might not just be your thing. So where did you go after the prom? You go down to the shore?
I just went to one of his friend's house, and we watched these geeks play Ultimate Guitar Hero.
Wow, that sounds like a fun evening.
Oh, man, it was rocking.
Hey, man, watch me play Bark at the Moon for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what a great memory.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Put that one in your scrapbook.
Nobody understands why I didn't take any pictures.
Yeah, you're going to flip back through your book 20 years later, you know, 40 years later, showing your grandkids, and this is what Grandma did on her prom. Maybe just like watching the two dummies with that plastic guitar with five buttons on it, just watching them play along to a TV.
Yep.
Well, I feel for you.
Well, thank you.
You have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Here's the quote. I was like a brutish American exploitation distributor who cut the movie down almost to the point of incoherence. I cut it down to the bone and took all the fat off it to see if it could still exist, and it worked. It works great as a double feature, but I'm just as excited, if not more excited, about actually having the world see Death Proof unfiltered. Oh, brother. Can you imagine that thing? Oh, thanks for adding the longer version. Maybe we get to see the guy order the nachos and Does Kurt Russell go, nachos, my favorite. Nothing that I like more than nachos. You see him start eating them. And then we get to watch the guy wash the dish in the bar. Yeah, hang out more at the Hillbilly. That movie. Oh, it's such a movie to watch women just be tough and stuff. Except for the fact that the three women sold one of them out to this Hillbilly. They left her behind while they went on their joyride to get attacked by this Hillbilly. Wow, what a powerful feminist statement. Like, sell out the weakest woman to the Hillbilly so you can smash his car up. FMU, you're on the air.
Wow, I guess I'm not going to go see Grindhouse anytime soon.
Well, you don't have a chance, buddy. It's gone.
Oh. Okay.
America rejected it, thankfully.
Good.
You know what? America made the wrong move on the Zodiac. They rejected that.
Uh-huh.
That was America at their worst, picking Wild Hogs over the Zodiac. But they picked Blades of Glory over Grindhouse.
I guess that's better. I guess that's good.
Yes. Who is this?
This is Ted.
Oh, I recognize that voice. How are you doing, Ted?
I'm okay. How are you, Tom?
Teddy Rockstar. You've been on the road.
I have to apologize for kind of cold calling because I haven't. I'm not anywhere where I can actually stream the show tonight.
Where are you?
I'm in Toronto. I'm walking around the street in Toronto, actually.
It's kind of, you're up there with other New Jersey residents, the New Jersey Nets.
That's right. That's right. Tonight, yeah. Is that game still going?
What happened? Does anybody have a final score on the New Jersey, on the Nets at Raptors? What? Toronto won.
What?
98-96.
What?
Well, they're going to lose when they go back to Jersey.
That's right. You wouldn't know. This place is like a ghost town tonight.
Because I'm going to go to that game.
Good.
When I used to go to these Nets games, proud moment, going to Nets games, couldn't get into Knicks games.
Right.
There would be this one guy who was like this frat guy who like took it on himself to be like the fans. I'm gonna rally the fans.
Oh, boy.
And he was in the upper deck. He would go to the bottom lip of the upper deck, and would start this chant like N-E-T-S, and he would get this chant started, and you know that it was completely unsanctioned by anyone. The Nets were just like, what do we do about this guy? Do we throw him out? And they're probably just like, let's just keep an eye on him. If he gets out of hand, yes, we throw him out. But
yeah.
Technically, he's not doing anything wrong right
also,
now.
Also, sometimes antagonizing someone like that could be worse than just, you know,
yeah,
chanting N-E-T-S a couple times and then letting go. You know?
Exactly. And the Nets had that guy, and they also had this like lawyer guy who had courtside seats who's would be like his face would get like purple, like yelling. It looked like he was gonna have a conniption there on the baseline.
Wow. Was this the era when those two? Remember they had like two twins. There were two twins who were on the team.
Collins.
Yes.
This is that guy. That guy's been there for a long time. The purple faced lawyer. I don't know if he still is. So Ted Leo, tell us about your rock tour.
It's been pretty disastrous in a lot of ways, actually. It's been fun. The shows have been good, but...
Disastrous?
Yeah, there have been some disasters. Lots of things have gone wrong. But,
Like what?
I'll just give you a couple of highlights, okay?
Yes, please.
Second night in Washington, D.C. Great show, you know, huge, fun, you know, great, whatever. But, like, the tour had just started. I'm really tired. I'm looking forward to this early night. And I get back to... We're staying in a hotel, and I go to take a shower, and the shower literally exploded. Like the handle where you kind of twist it to turn the water on and change the temperature blew off out of the wall and across the shower and completely flooded the hotel room.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised they didn't call the cops on me. Like they actually believed me when I told them that that's what happened, and that is what happened, but it was that was just, you know, one, like a portent of things to come, you know.
So water just pouring out at just like a fire hydrant.
It was like a fire hydrant, you know, behind the tiles of the wall.
Wow.
And it, like, you know, got like an inch deep in the room. I had to call down to the front desk like three times too because I don't think they understood the severity of what was going on. I was like, you have to get, there's an inch of water on the floor, you know.
They're like, we'll send someone up.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
they thought like you needed like a cord to.
Well,
the first guy who
came up with a mop, and you know, then he saw it. He was like, oh, you know,
yeah.
Down, you know.
So that's one low light.
Yeah, my amp fell completely over. You know, it's like about a 5 foot high like stack, and it fell over backwards in Minneapolis with my like, you know, my last old Echoplex that works on top of it. That all shattered. And then concurrently with that, but not as part of the same process, the headstock on my guitar broke at the same time. You know?
In the same show?
Yeah. No, at the same time.
Oh, at the same
moment.
Like
30 seconds afterward. Yeah.
Wow.
We had van problems.
You have the name. Did that guitar have a name?
No. I don't name my guitars.
You should.
You think?
I think you should start naming your guitars.
Really?
Like Cha-Cha.
All right, yeah, there are those.
Like
yeah.
The Dominator, right?
The Dominator.
Spike. Name your guitar like Spike and Captain Jack. Blue Willie.
Right. Yeah, that's I wouldn't be able to play them then. You know?
Willis. Name what's his name? Louis from Liverpool. Louis the Liverpudlian. Just name all your guitars after the demented characters that Captain Jack calls up as.
Yeah, Blue Willie is a new thing to me. I've only been podcasting for the last few weeks.
That's our new low light.
Yeah, yeah.
While you've been away, we've had our own low lights.
I sympathize. Yes. But you know what? If I can say so, we almost every single night, I think we snatched a W from the jaws of potential L.
Nice. So you're just crushing the audiences.
We're doing our part.
We played the album tonight. We played CIA.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
It's a hot cut.
That's a long song.
That's a
commitment.
Well, it's an album closer.
Yeah.
It's a hot cut. People think the album's going to end on a soft note. Then all of a sudden, CIA comes in.
Right on.
They don't know what they're getting now. So, but the tour ends soon, right?
Yeah, there's only like a week left. It ends in New York in a couple days. Five days.
And where does it end?
Webster Hall.
And was that show sold out?
I seriously doubt it.
Uh-oh.
I would like to be able to say yes, but I'm anticipating a good crowd, but I don't think it'll sell out.
Anticipating a sellout.
Right on, thanks.
You know why? Because I bought 60 tickets and I'm going to scalp. I'm hoping for a sellout. Ted Leo, who needs them? Ted Leo.
I got Ted Leo.
Yeah, you got tickets? You got tickets? So when those guys ask if you've got tickets, what are they going to do? Buy them from you for $3?
Yeah, I always wondered that, yeah. Too.
Like, you're cutting it that close to the bone, scalper, that you're going to take on new inventory as the show's going on.
Bizarre.
It's a roll of the dice, those guys.
The copies that I made of Art of the Slap have been selling really well at our merch table.
Well, thank you. You're sweet to say that. Now, any surprises for the final show? You going to smash all your equipment?
No. That's the thing. I had to buy all new stuff. I spent more money in the last couple of weeks than I have like in my entire quote-unquote career up to this point.
What kind of guitar? Did you buy at least a fancy guitar? Like shaped?
Well, I didn't have to buy a new guitar, but I did have to have... I had to buy a new guitar in March when this happened, actually, and then that one broke. So I had to have an older one of mine, like, overnighted out to me.
And you play, what, a BC Rich...
Warlock.
Okay, yeah. You should get a guitar shaped like the United States. You ever see one
of those?
I saw
one of those. I saw one of those in L.A., actually, on this trip.
What is the dumbest shaped guitar you've ever seen, Ted Leo, of Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, whose new album, Living with the Living, is in stores now?
I think honestly, that the wood block carved into the shape of the USA is probably the dumbest one. And it's so dumb that it took me a really long time to realize how dumb it was. Like, I went through a process of actually seeing it on the wall and thinking, could I get away with that? Like, could I, you know, what would that be like? And then,
yeah.
Because it's just so alien, you know, before it finally hit me that it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
I saw a guitar shaped like a machine gun once.
Whoa.
Which is like sending a message.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to mow you down with my guitar.
Riff.
Exactly. My riffs are like bullets.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I have seen a lot of FOTs on this tour, too.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nice. People are coming out.
Yeah, there's Newbridge shirts all over the place.
Are they asking for free merch from your table?
No, they've been very kind, actually.
They're good people.
Yes.
So, Ted Leo, this weekend you will be playing at the Webster Hall in New York City, the dramatic, I'm going to say, the last live show ever for Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, possibly.
It could go that way.
There's a chance.
It would not surprise me.
That this could be it.
Yeah.
That you will not get back in the van.
I hope to not get back in the van for at least 3 weeks after that show, but, you know, we'll see.
We will find out. This could be the end of it. Ted Leo, by the way, whose album was in Billboard.
Come on, man.
What?
That was come on.
That was very impressive.
It's embarrassing.
You were on the charts.
I was on the charts. That was kind of cool.
Now, where did it open on the charts? Where did it enter?
I think it entered at like 109 or something like that.
And then where did it go from there?
I think it just went off after that.
What? I thought it was going to be like Dark Side of the Moon.
No, I think, I don't know. I really don't know, actually. When it first appeared, you know, I got a lot of emails about it, and then I never got any more emails about it, so I just kind of assumed that it fell off. You know? You know, how many people can, not everybody can say that you're on the top 200, you know?
I agree.
An achievement of some kind.
That's why I brought it up.
All right.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Oh, Ted Leo of Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. We will see you live in concert.
Yes. And I just wanted to say, because I haven't had a chance the last couple of weeks, that I'm really glad that you're back and, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, you're sweet to say that.
Well, it's true.
I will see you this Saturday.
All right.
Live in concert.
Have a good rest of the week.
You too. Stay all healthy. Right. Stay safe. No more disasters.
I'm trying.
Say hi to Big Steve.
I will do. I definitely will.
And little Danny.
I definitely will.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
See you, Tom.
FMU, you're on the air on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope Worldwide, and the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. This is the best show on WFMU, and heading into our final hour. What can I do for you?
Hi. First off, I got to say Ted Leo's awesome, and I saw him at North 6 before North 6 closed, and they put on such a good show. But I would really like to talk to you about Labyrinth. You ever see that movie with David Bowie?
Labyrinth. That's from like the 80s, right?
Yes, I gotta tell you, I think it is the best movie ever created. Because I know you guys were talking about movies and what movies are really bad.
Uh-huh.
But Labyrinth was a movie that is not well respected because a lot of people just don't know about it. But everything in that movie, from start to finish, it just mind-blowing.
And that's like a Jim Henson movie or something?
It is a Jim Henson movie, and George Lucas was an executive producer.
Wow. What is your name, young man?
My name is Bobby.
Bobby.
And I just wanted to call up because I just want people to know about Labyrinth and David Bowie. Plus, David Bowie has that Highline Fest coming up, and I've been thinking about it a lot. And the have you ever seen Labyrinth?
Saw it a long time ago.
Well, if I can, I would like to do an impression of one of the characters. His name was Ludo.
Just tell me, Bobby, am I going to regret this?
No, I promise.
Seriously.
Not. This is I'm probably going to try my best at doing his voice exact.
Just realize, I saw this movie maybe 22 years ago, along with if anyone in the audience, no one has seen that movie recently, and you're about to do an impression of Ludo, who I have no idea who that is.
Ludo was the big monster, the big hairy monster who Jennifer Connelly saved.
Just do the impression.
Okay, he goes,
food all hungry. Smell bad.
Hey, that's actually an impression of every character Jim Henson ever did. All he did was go,
But I got to say, Jim Henson was probably one of the best created creators in the history of mankind.
Of what kind?
Mankind.
What is mankind?
All man and every man.
What?
And inside the man, outside.
Get off my phone. That was getting scary. Guy's talking a little too into it. Mankind. Of course that makes sense. You don't know what mankind is? No, I don't, because I'm not nuts. Guy out in Brooklyn watching Labyrinth. Scaring me. Labyrinth. That was like David Bowie during his worst era ever. He did like that album, which had like Blue Jean on it. The one where he did the cover of God Only Knows. It's called Tonight. Hey, Mike, can you get Tonight by David Bowie from the library? FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's up? Did he just say creative creators? What
he said something to that effect,
well,
yes.
And yeah, it's just crazy.
He likes creative creators.
Yeah, creative creators. Those are the best kind. Was that during Bowie's Tin Machine era?
It was before that. It was before the Tin Machine era.
Before God, that was a great, great couple years with him and Reeves Gabriel, I believe.
Right.
Anyway, I want to try to make Living with the Living the new Rumors on the Billboard charts. We need to put it up there for like 200 weeks.
This is what I say you do.
Yes.
Are you going to go to the Ted Leo Rock concert?
Absolutely. Saw you at Webster at the Knitting Factory about a year ago.
You saw me there?
Saw you.
What, are you staring at me?
You. Yeah.
That's creepy.
That's weird, yeah.
Now, you know what you do?
What do I do?
You know what a sandwich board is? Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Yes.
You get it. You put together a sandwich board.
Okay.
I'm serious.
All right.
You wear it to the show.
Okay.
And it should say something like, "By Living with the Living." And on the back it says, "Let's make it our rumors."
Okay.
Okay, will you do it?
I will do that. I'll bring a bell. Do you ever see that Bugs Bunny cartoon? And he's with the wrestler in the ring, and he's got the sandwich board ringing the bell?
Yes, I have seen that cartoon.
A great one.
I want you to be like that guy at Yankee Stadium, Freddie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or that purple-faced guy at the Nets game.
Or the purple-faced guy at the Nets game. Thank you.
I will do that, Tom.
All right, young man.
Make it a sellout. You got some tickets for me? You need tickets? You got tickets?
What, are you trying to scalp to me?
What up with these scalpers? There's a whole subculture. It's very strange.
What's up with these scalpers? Anybody see these scalpers? What's up?
Is that a Seinfeld? All right, I'm sorry.
It was Jay Leno.
All right, I'll see you Saturday.
You have a good night, buddy. Bye.
Later.
Oh, I hope I'm in the VIP section. I can't go near guys like that. Seriously. I just want to go in through a side door like Frank Sinatra. Just I'll go in through the kitchen of Webster Hall, through the hallway, into like some sort of opera box, so that guy can only point at me. And I'll look down on the floor. All the riffraff, and I'll be like, oh my God, that guy's actually wearing a sandwich board on the floor. See him in the pit getting jostled around with his sandwich board, trying to maintain his footing. Come on, guys, I got the sandwich board. It's hard to stand here. Don't hit me. You ever hear on Jay Leno on The Tonight Show, whenever he makes a certain kind of joke, it's not like, it's his version of the rim shot. It's almost like an ambient rim shot. It's like he tells a joke, and then it's like the band just goes into this like amorphous. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike? Like, what is that? How did they come up with the idea that is the right thing to do? Like, Jay's like, so I'll do the J-Lo joke, and then you can, maybe you guys give me, like, a rim shot, but not a rim shot. Give me something modern. It's like, It's like Kevin Eubanks is like, how about this, Jay? That is a comedy heightener. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm all right. Who's this?
This is Erica.
Where are you calling from, Erica?
Baltimore.
Baltimore, home of the crab cake.
Home of the crab cake. The only place you can get a crab cake.
You like crab cakes?
I do. I do. I'm a big fan.
So what's going on tonight?
All right. So they were talking about Labyrinth, or that guy was talking about Labyrinth. And you mentioned that, yeah, that was David Bowie at his worst. And I'm about 27 years old right now. So I saw that movie when I was about 8. And I have to say that I was really scarred by one aspect of that, which was...
Boring?
No. Stupid. I liked it.
Okay.
No. All right. Listen. But David Bowie's
I'm sorry. Hold on, let me listen. Sorry. What's that? I'm listening.
Okay. David Bowie's package in that movie completely...
Hey, keep it clean, you toilet mouth. Oh, nothing to do with that. Is that how you do it down in Baltimore? We have class up here. Keep your filth off of my airwaves. Do that on a Baltimore station. And call up, talk about the Orioles. This is David Bowie's version of God Only Knows.
If you should ever leave me, my life would still go on.
I think it's at the wrong speed. Wait, no, it's not.
The world could show nothing to me.
Here's the best part.
So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Oh, brother. Is this Edward Furlong or David Bowie? Sounds like that Edward Furlong record. 201-209-9368. Last week I told you about my adventures at the courthouse. I had jury duty. And I overheard a couple things that people said. Obviously, I think I might have mentioned there was one guy who was saying, you know what the problem was that when I'm sitting in the jury pool with 150 other people? It's like, you know what the problem with the whole thing is? The reason we're doing this? Too many laws. There's too many laws. Yeah, let's start getting laws off the books. That's a great idea. Let's strip it down to 5 laws. How about that? I heard that. Then I heard a guy on a cell phone having a conversation, and he goes, do I look stupid to you? Do I look like an idiot to you? It's like, well, whoever you're talking to can't see you. So you for the fact that you're saying, do I look like an idiot? It makes you sound like an idiot. And he starts recommending this book to somebody else, somebody on the phone, and he's like, there's a book I want you to read. It's a book by a Chinese guy, and as soon as he said Chinese, I knew he was going to say Art of War. And he did say Art of War. It's like, The Art of War by Sun Tzu. You got to read that book. I overheard that. And then I was at a 7-Eleven. This has nothing to do with my courthouse experience. And there was a 12-year-old and his, must have been like 7-year-old brother. This 12-year-old boy was teasing his 7-year-old brother. And they're over at the drinks, you know, the where you open the door, the coolers. And the kid goes, he's like, hey, stop pushing me, stupid. Which for some reason killed me. I thought that was... Hearing him go, stop pushing me, stupid. And the brother kept teasing him. And the other thing I heard the kid say was, he's like, the older brother's like, hey, what if we get some ice cream? He's like, I don't like ice cream. You know that. I don't like ice cream. It's too cold. And the brother's like, how about we get some ice cream? He's like, I don't like ice cream. He's really, like, the brother just clearly pressing his buttons, like, the easiest teasing in the world you could ever do, he was doing. Which made me think of the next topic we put on the table. Best things you've overheard. The best things you've overheard. You know what? I got a bad feeling about this topic. I might throw a second topic on the table. FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, I was wondering, is your station running?
What?
Is your station running?
Why, should I go catch it?
Yeah, you should go catch it.
Wow, I actually got to admit, I liked his little sign-off. Boot. Hey, is your station running? Let me see if I can replicate that. Is your station running? There it is. Is your station running? Yes, it is. Well, you better go catch it. No, he had the zero. Oh. The guy just learning about that prank. Is your station running? I'm going to adapt. What I'm going to do is take the old, is your refrigerator working? And I'm going to adapt it to the radio station. And ask this guy if his station is running. Uh-huh. So he called Mike, said, is your station running, to Mike, who's screening calls. And what did you say? Mike said yes, and then he said, you better go catch it. And then he hung up, and then he called back, saying he wanted to talk about something different. And then you let him through. I got to say, you're the one with the black eye on this one, Mike. I got to say, that's strike one. And you were going to let him through for that? He said he played one of the goblins in Labyrinth. I guess that's strike two, Mike. That's strike one and two with that guy. That guy actually... That guy should be on that show, The Wedding Crashers. The real Wedding Crashers. What a fun show. I watched some of that last night. It's so much fun to watch these guys just crash a wedding. It's like, it was the most underwhelming thing I've ever seen. Like, they started like two small arguments at the wedding. And then they're like, this wedding has been crashed! Well, no. All you did was be annoying, which happens at every wedding. Oh, wait. Oh, so you were a jerk at a wedding. Oh, wow. That's never happened before. You were the guy talking about inappropriate subjects to people that you don't know at a wedding. Another topic. Since the best thing you've ever overheard topic does not... That seems to be making the Turk 182 it. Look like how's your favorite cookie? How's your favorite cookie? What's your favorite cookie? L, heading to an L. I'm tripping over my own words. Got this guy saying he's gonna... Is your station running? It was a disaster tonight. This is a full-out L. We're behind. We gotta catch up. That's it. Third strike. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? It's Karen from Jersey City.
From Jersey City, eh?
Yeah, just a couple blocks away from you.
What can I do for you tonight, madam?
I was going to tell you some funny story about my friend overheard. I didn't actually overhear it. It was at a diner in, I think, Providence, Rhode Island, and she was waiting online and seated. And two guys in front of her, one of them says, hey, what would you do with a girl with three boobs? And the other guy says, one for me, and one for you.
Ugh.
You don't like it?
I don't do porno radio, sorry. It's not porno radio. Okay, Mike, you swung at it. You missed, but the catcher dropped it. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this?
This is Eric in Chicago.
What's going on tonight in Chicago?
Not much. I just ate some dinner.
What are you going to have?
Oh, I just ate it. I had a big plate of green curry. It was really hot. I'm kind of sweating right now.
All right.
Anyway, you were talking about the Wedding Crashers?
The real Wedding Crashers. Not that
right.
Fake movie. This is real.
Yes.
These guys are the real Wedding Crashers. They really do it.
They're not messing around.
No, this is not playtime. These guys actually go into your wedding, and they start an argument with an uncle at a table.
It's outrageous.
So what about the real Wedding Crashers?
Well, I was wondering, I was kind of half watching it last night. I was similarly, you know, appalled. And then I was also seeing these commercials for Thank God You're Here. Do you know this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that show is another fun show.
Did you catch the lineup on tonight?
Honestly, I'm not supposed to talk about Thank God You're Here because there's a chance, fingers crossed, I will be the newest addition to the Thank God You're Here players.
Well, maybe you could be on a night like tonight where you could collaborate with such luminaries as Fran Drescher, Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
And the third person tonight was, Fred Willard. I know you're a big fan of the...
Fred Willard. I don't think he's exposed enough. What he actually... did he fit that in between the five bad movies he was filming that day?
The show might be on right now. I bet he's just riffing.
Enough with Fred Willard and Eugene Levy. There was that point where it's like, oh, man, it's so cool to see these guys working again. Now it's like, you know what? I kind of miss when they weren't working.
Yeah, he's had his thing. I get the Fred Willard idea.
I say you swap Eugene Levy, I'd put Joe Flaherty in there. Give that guy some work. He's my hero. That's the guy. That's the king of SCTV.
I'm with you.
But Thank God You're Here. My favorite thing about that show is that it's not even an improv show. It seems like it's like some mental agility thing. Like they're trying to train people to be salesmen or something. Just see how many lies you can tell and how if you can just keep a conversation going. Thank God You're Here. We've been stuck at the ski resort for a month. Now, what was that? You gave that great lecture. Could you do it again? And then the person says it, and then they talk about something else. There's like no interaction between the guest and the Thank God You're Here players. Get you mad, right?
Really mad, yeah. I'm not watching it.
Are you going to be mad when the Chicago Bulls lose in the next round?
I'm going to be livid. It's going to be horrible.
Who are they playing?
Pistons, right?
They are going to get demolished. You know that.
Okay.
Just own it.
Is it going to be the finals? Is that what's coming up next?
You don't know what you're talking. Get off my phone. It's the second round of the playoff. Is it the finals? No, it's your finals. Your finals moments on my shows. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Sean from Los Angeles.
Wow, it's Showbiz Sean. Big shot. You still have that fancy showbiz job?
No, actually, I just left the fancy showbiz job, so I'm on fancy showbiz unemployment right now.
Why did you leave the fancy showbiz job?
Well, the fancy showbiz job let me write an episode of the fancy showbiz job, and because I'm not that fancy... I have to leave to fly my own, make my own way now.
So you wrote an episode, and then they show you the door.
Yeah, that's the system on the fancy showbiz job.
Are you willing to say the name of that fancy showbiz job?
It was Scrubs.
Scrubs. So you've met Zach Braff.
I worked with him, yes.
What's he like?
He's a nice enough guy.
He seems fun. I hope he's on Thank God You're Here soon.
I was just thinking that I was hoping that
he's not sensitive enough, though.
I know, you know. He
doesn't look longingly enough at the camera.
He saves that for the Indies. That's for him.
Yeah. What's with all the sound effects on Scrubs?
Aaron Sorkin's next program should be writing it behind the scenes of Thank God You're Here.
I would watch that. I'm sad.
Or he could just write the scenarios for the show itself. Like, Thank God You're Here. Do you get some mortality rates in Zimbabwe?
I'm so sad that Studio 60 is in its final days.
I know. But, you know, at least there's going to be a full season that, you know, we can all cherish and own on DVD.
That's true. And what's with all the sound effects on Scrubs?
What's that?
What's with all the sound effects on Scrubs?
They don't do that much anymore.
You can't, like, move something without going...
I think they stopped doing that.
I have that chart right here.
You might be seeing some of the old episodes in reruns. Yeah.
Did Comedy Central just hand all its schedule over to Scrubs?
What's that?
Is Comedy Central now the Scrubs channel?
Yeah, they signed an exclusive Mad TV Carlos Mencia pact.
Oh, it's like this is I could tell the time by Comedy Central. If you just showed me Comedy Central, you wake up, bad movie. Daily Show, Colbert, bad movie. Mad TV, Mad TV, Mad TV, Scrubs, Scrubs, Daily Show, Colbert Report, either a bad movie or Carlos Mencia, or then you get around 10 o'clock, then you get some of their original programming, whether it be a South Park or a Halfway Home. Is that the name of that show?
Yeah.
What's that, Mike? Dogma. Yes, they run Dogma a lot. They used to run Back to School all the time. I actually thought it was a series on the channel. And then Daily Show, Colbert, either bad movie or Carlos Mencia or Scrubs, bad movie.
That's accurate, yeah.
I don't like it. I hate it.
Do you remember when they used to, back in the day, Comedy Central used to show, like the Jack Benny show at, like, 10 in the afternoon?
Well, those days are gone.
I know. I was thinking we could, I would trade in Mencia for Jack Benny. Or even, you know.
I like Jack
Steve
Benny.
Allen.
Carlos Mencia, he's cool. I think he's cool, and I think he's funny.
He says what's on his mind, and he's not afraid to say it.
Well, the whole thing about Carlos Mencia that I think all these people get bent out of shape with is that he says what you're afraid to say.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I'm scared to make Michael Jackson jokes. I think about them, but that guy, Carlos Mencia, Michael Jackson, he's sick, man.
I am frightened.
Really?
I am frightened and unable to make fun of the mentally handicapped, but Carlos does not have those kind of blocks built into his...
I would love... You know what I would love to see? Carlos Mencia get his foot run over. See, like, a car roll backwards? Just roll over his foot. I don't want to see him really hurt. I do just want to see him with a big cast on his foot. Have to come out at the beginning of Mind of Mencia with, like, a giant boot on his foot.
I would like to see his foot roll over and then the tire move off and he has a comically large, flattened-out foot.
You know what, though? I wouldn't want to see... That might be the only funny thing he's ever responsible for. Like a giant cartoon flattened foot. That actually might make me laugh. So what's next for Sean, the king of showbiz?
I've been watching a lot of television. Dr. Phil and saw some Judge Judy today in local news. It's great.
Wow, you're really...
These are the things that I've been missing.
It's like leaving Las Vegas.
I know.
You're really sliding down the ladder, aren't you?
Yeah.
Splash some cold water on your face. You got to bounce back. Get your buddy Zach Braff to help you out.
No, I'm doing fine.
Is he doing a book called Braffisms?
What's that?
I heard he was doing a book called Braffisms.
That might have been a joke.
Really?
Yeah.
It would be like his motivational advice, little affirmations, Braffisms.
Well, that would only be useful as a book on tape if it were set to, like, the Shins or Thievery Corporation.
That band did change my life, though. I'm serious. I appreciate I appreciate him turning me on to the Shins 4 years after I heard of them.
I spent a day when I was a PA on another show as the Shins gopher.
You were the Shins gopher?
For a day when I worked on Gilmore Girls, they guest starred, or they guest appeared, and I was there. I was the guy who went and got their lunch.
What did they play on Gilmore Girls? Were they doing like a scene in a morgue? They needed like, four dead guys? Those guys are low energy. So Shins, I like the music. He's got to wake up. Talk about splashing cold water on your face.
They were nice enough guys.
I saw them on Saturday Night Live. If that song was any slower, it would have gone backwards. Get off my phone! I'm that ruthless. I had no reason to hang up on him. I actually wanted to continue that conversation. Why did I do that? I actually was enjoying that conversation. I have a problem. 201-209-9368 is the number here on The Best Show on WFMU. Apparently, what is the best thing you've ever overheard? Hall of Fame topic. So we swap it out for a topic that Mike suggested. With 5 episodes left, The Sopranos will be ending soon. In lightning fast speed, you tell me how the show ends. We're going to keep track. I want to see who's right and who's wrong. 201-209-9368. They do that thing where they run The Sopranos, and then they run a new entourage after it now every week. And they run that new entourage. Not doing themselves any favors. Putting an entourage on after... Like, Sopranos is in its final season, and it's all epic. And you're watching each episode. It's so heavy. And you're wondering the weight of each moment and decision. Because you know that it's all so pregnant with just disaster. And then they put on Entourage, and it's just like, where are we going to have the pool party? Like, it's the most... It should ostensibly be like, well, you have dinner. The Sopranos is the dinner. And Entourage is dessert. But you know what? The second you finish eating dinner, you don't want to be like, okay, here's dessert. Start shoveling cake in your mouth the second you stop eating dinner. That's what it feels like. It's like, all right, you just finished that huge bowl of pasta. Quick, eat this cotton candy. And they just jam it right in your mouth. You're like, I don't want cotton candy right now. And every episode of Entourage, it's same pattern. It's like the one guy's like, we got to do something about your career, Vince, the manager. We got to try to get your career on track. And he's like, I don't know, E, maybe we'll hang out and see what's going on. And then there's the brother's like, well, you know, back when I was doing a show back then, I realized a lot of the way Hollywood really works. And then they cut to the guy Turtle. He's like, yeah, back when they were making, when they started making talkies. Yeah, like you know anything about that. Every scene is that. That's every scene of Entourage. The one dude says something about Vince's career. Vince says something really boring. The older brother makes a comment about his history, and then they make an old joke. And then they cut to Ari going, blah, 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 blah. It's great to see Artie Lang on Entourage this week. Apparently they're trying to get every Mad TV cast member on. They had that guy on a couple weeks ago, Will Sasso. Who's raiding the Mad TV vaults? Apparently somebody over at Entourage, apparently Doug Ellen has Comedy Central. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Jim on the Garden State Parkway.
What exit?
At mile marker 111, getting off at 109 for Little Silver.
All right, and what takes you down that way?
Where I live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I want to tell you about the greatest thing I ever overheard.
Okay, what is it, Jim?
It was two women talking in a diner at like 2 in the morning.
It's family-friendly, right? It's family-friendly.
It's a little too family-friendly.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Two women.
Two women in Texarkana, Arkansas.
Okay.
In a like a diner roadside restaurant place. Not a proper real Northeast diner, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And I was sitting with my back to them, and they were talking. I was alone. They were talking to each other about their how their families, talking about problems in their respective families that may possibly have been traced back to inbreeding.
Ugh.
And wait. But then, and they're going through this whole thing, and I'm listening, and they're just all this awful, like, Jerry Springer kind of stuff, and they're going, well, you know, they were second cousins, and she was so-and-so's kinfolk, and all this kind of stuff. And then when I got up to leave, I looked, and the two of them looked exactly like Lon Chaney mid-transformation. They both looked like, they look like identical werewolf women.
And what do you look like, sir? Seriously. Describe yourself.
I have actually been mistaken, and I'm not proud of this, but there's great comedic value in actually being mistaken by a Japanese camera crew for an
overweight Christopher Cross? What?
Better. Close, actually. The singer from the Bare Naked Ladies.
Well, at least you owned up to that.
It was hysterical. I got to pretend to be the singer from the Bare Naked Ladies for Japanese MTV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very exciting. You have a good night, buddy. Thanks for the story.
Have a good
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. Who's this?
You know, my name's Bob. I'm calling from New York. And,
yeah.
You were talking about Entourage before, and, you know, I know you guys work in TV, and I don't own a TV, but I... The only time I really catch...
What's wrong? What happened? Why couldn't you get your hands on a TV?
Well...
They sell them everywhere now.
Yeah, I know. It's I can do without it.
Do you watch movies on your laptop?
Well, not much. But let's get back to my Entourage.
Okay.
It's like the only time I am crossed with the opportunity to watch television is if I'm in a way job at a hotel, and it's inevitable that Entourage is playing at that whatever hour I end up landing. I can't understand who. Who's the demographic that likes to have a half an hour blatantly sucked out of their life?
Mm-hmm. What do you do for entertainment?
Actually, you know what? Last weekend, I think I'm going to start this. Last Saturday night, home, doing nothing, I decided to peruse YouTube. And I found it. I was entertained thoroughly for like an hour and a half, two hours at least.
Yeah.
And there's some screwy stuff up there. There's some lame stuff.
Wait, there's weird stuff on YouTube?
Yeah.
Get off my phone. What's next? You're going to teach me about Google? There's a site called YouTube. Now, is that the letter U? Is that T-O-O-B? No. It's just like you and I, Y-O-U, tube. There's some weird stuff up there, though. Ugh. No TV. We're past that age. You put on TV, you're not gonna watch Alice anymore. It's not, oh, what's on? The Jeffersons and Love Boat. Those days are over. There's good stuff on TV. Join us. Jeepers, creepers. I was actually in a diner. I was telling about diners earlier, and I heard overheard a woman say to a guy, and I could not see either of them. I had my back to them, and I wanted to see them so badly. The woman goes, you know what? You're a real pervert. That was nasty, what you just said. And I was like, oh, please, I wish I heard what he just said. I wanted to, like, slide into the table and just say, like, seriously, just please. I know you don't know me. There's a good chance my life will be incomplete if I don't know what you said. How we doing out there, Mike? This is a disaster, right? Tonight's show, total flop. I might pull the plug on tonight's show. Nobody's got anything to say about The Sopranos. Nothing. Nothing. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Christopher in Rhode Island. Sorry for double dipping, but
you're all right. You can double dip.
This is things we have overheard that sort of are memorable. I have a quote for you.
Let's hear it.
This is a guy I work with, and I'll try and do the voice, but you have to bear with me. I'm not very good at voices, but he says, yeah, there's some pretty hot chicks where my wife goes and gets her chemo.
Oh. I don't even...
I'm sorry, man.
Get off my phone. I'm sorry. I got to hang up on you on that one. What is a guy? A guy living in a Todd Solondz movie? Exposing the underbelly. Showing everybody what's really like in the suburbs. All the weirdos. Is it any secret that there's weirdos in the suburbs? I'm blowing the lid off the suburbs. Let you know that everybody's not normal. When did anybody ever say everybody was normal in the suburbs? That's a rich guy. Another rich guy. Going after the middle class. Get your jollies. Start going after you. Some richy rich gonna tell me how it is. In the middle class. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, you just mentioned The Sopranos. Are you interested in, the continuity mistakes that are, you know, occur on the show often or anything of that sort?
Why, did you pick up on some continuity errors?
You saw the show the other night, right?
Yes.
Okay, they have Tony's betting on basketball and football throughout the episode, if you remember correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the son goes to the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which is in June.
Yeah.
You know, which totally conflicts with the time the show, you know, would be in the parade.
Well, for your information, how do you know he's not betting on the arena football?
Because, they said Jets, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Giants, and they also said Sixers and, Miami. And they also had him watching it on, you know, the TV as well.
You're right. You got it. You put the calendar together.
You know. I mean, you think a big show, I mean, is that too much to ask? At least, you know, get some...
Man, David Chase. I'm normally a fan of your program, but now you have crossed the line with your... your timeline is completely thrown off. For your information, sir, the Super Bowl, which connotes the end of the football season, takes place the first week of February. However, the Puerto Rican Day Parade takes place 4 months later in June. This is a discrepancy that I cannot overlook. I would like you to refund my money that I have spent on HBO for the last 9 years watching your program. Please enclose a check for $14,000 to the following address.
Well, I guess I'll have to footnote you that when I, you know, put my little letter into Time Warner Cable there. I'll have to mention that.
Please do. Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy, I had a dog named Soprano at one point. Let me tell you something. It sounds like you're off your meds again. It might be time for a little tweak.
Yeah, I'm off my meds.
You got me.
I'm off my meds.
I know your career hasn't exactly got the trajectory that you initially envisioned.
You're right.
You always got a position with the Barnacles.
You're right.
My brother.
My life is not working out the way it was. My life was supposed to work out.
Let me just say one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, before you end up in that bungalow out in Hollywood, you know, with some hooker, and you're about ready to pop that last balloon, you give me a ring, because I'll fly right out, and I'll pull you right out of that.
You couldn't fly anywhere. You're definitely on some sort of list.
Well, you know, we name everything. Hey, and the band vehicle that we got right now, we call the Lunar Module.
Mm-hmm.
The Lunar Module is about 10 shades of purple. It's an old Mercedes, mm-hmm. and it's a beauty. And we cruise around in that. I got an old generator down below we call Weezer. It's named Weezer after mm-hmm. Weezer McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us a generator back in the 80s.
Okay.
It seized, unfortunately, so we got to do a number on that.
Uh-huh.
See what happens there. And
yeah.
We'll see what we can do. But I think you might need a little hand tonight, Tommy.
Yeah. You're right. I did need a little help.
Well,
you're right. I'm off my meds because you know what I was just imagining?
What's that?
I kept Captain Jack on the air for more than 2 minutes.
Well, can you put that Worcestershire sauce cat back on?
What?
That Worcestershire cat, you know, that you always put on for 40 minutes or whatever, because I got to go down and grease Weezer. But give me a call during the week, and we'll get together. And
you're going to hang up on
me. We love
it.
You're a down girl, Tommy.
I love this. You're actually, you have the nerve to end, to tell me when your call ends. That's my fault. That's my fault. I'm driving the bus, and I let you do that for 3 minutes straight, and then, okay, I'm done with this. Shame on me. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Thomas. John from Maplewood.
Oh, hey, John. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. A quick thing you were mentioning about filmmakers who blow the lid off the suburbs.
Yeah?
Yeah, that drives me nuts, too, and I have a lot of friends who love... American Beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I didn't like that movie. It didn't say anything new.
That movie's the worst.
I'm so excited somebody, you actually feel that way.
Man, the suburbs are weird.
Yeah,
the military guy is actually gay. You're never going to believe what goes on in the suburbs.
It's not like Blue Velvet didn't say that 10 years before American Beauty. You know, and so the real estate agent is actually really stressed out behind the scenes.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Who knew?
She's having an affair. You people in the suburbs, you try to lie about how it is and say that everything's perfect. It's not perfect. You guys are messed up. And I, who have never actually lived in the suburbs, am going to tell you how it is.
Yeah, I'm sure a million people in the suburbs felt so uncomfortable after that, they rethought things and went back to the city.
I'm supposed to go watch some movie made by some guy who has no idea what he's talking about.
Exactly.
He's going to tell me how it is. I'll do a movie about rich guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like go after the middle class. It's like when they go after, it's like Arnold Diaz. Remember that guy? Shame on you. He did that show where he like had his cameras go into the convenience store. When they were having the convention across the street, they raised the price of batteries from $3 to $5.
Yeah, and it had a little hand doing the shame on you movement.
Yeah. He would confront the guy behind the counter, raise the price of batteries $2. Why don't you use your camera to go after an actual big shot?
Right.
Going after the slobs. I've had it.
Thank you.
It's going to be a slob revolution.
So I actually was calling about something I overheard.
Yeah? What did you overhear, buddy?
Well, I was on New Jersey Transit going into Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole train ride, there was a bunch of people talking, and they were having this kind of conversation where they're trying to one-up each other a little bit. You know, it's friendly, but they're trying to kind of, you know, show, you know, they've been to more places and they've done more things. And at one point, somebody actually said about they were taking a trip to SeaWorld or something. One person actually said, oh, I've always been into manatees.
That is a great quote.
Who was being impressed by that line?
That is fantastic. That is the spirit of what I was trying to achieve with this. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Have a good night.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Chris L. from Maryland.
Oh. How are you, buddy?
Okay. I was a little scared by that.
No, I was teasing you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I was calling about the Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've got this sinking feeling that after 7 years or however long it's going to
be on the air. They're going to do this anticlimactic ending just to screw with everybody's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's gonna, they're going to find the most obscure thing that happened in the entire 7 series, and that's going to be Tony's downfall.
I hope they find the Russian again. I hope the Russian in the woods comes back again.
Yeah.
But you're one more person trying to put that forth as a theory. When's the Russian from the woods going to come back? What do you think? You don't think that was supposed to be making a point? What's the Russian in the woods? Yeah, he's going to come back. And that's going to be the big series finale.
He's going to come back still injured.
Yeah. Tony Soprano. Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll say something in Russian before he does it, and you'll never understand what it is, and it'll be ambiguous.
I know. You don't have faith, though. You think it's going to end badly.
It could go either way. I mean, it seems like they just, like, that their main goal these days is just to, again, screw with everybody's expectations.
What? You weren't excited about Vito's son being taking up 40 minutes of the episode? I think that kid is dynamic, and I heard something about a spinoff.
Yeah.
When he goes,
Junior, and
he goes to that camp. It's going to take place at that camp.
Yeah, they're going to. It's a golf camp of the Sopranos.
You wonder what that kid did. Yeah, it'll be like meatballs. Mike just said, it'll be that kid will be at the that kid was home, and all of a sudden it's like, good news. His agent calls like, good news. They just called from the Sopranos. You're back on. He's like, all right. Got some bad news, though. What? Yeah, read the script. Oh, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
You have a good night, Chris. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going? First off, I just got to say that TV, I'm not one for it, and I just gotta say I don't really like TV, but I'm really calling just to say a story I overheard.
Where are you calling from, champ?
I'm from Gainesville, Georgia.
What's the zip code there?
I don't really know.
Get off my phone. Don't know the zip code to your own town. I'm calling from Gainesville, Georgia. Gainesville, Florida. The worst southern accent I ever heard. Ha! I don't cotton much of television. But I figured I'd just call back a conversation I overheard. I'm calling from Gainesville, Florida. Shameful. Shameful. Of course he didn't have that accent, because you would have never bit on that accent. Although, I don't know, tonight you might have. Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm a guy. I played a goblin in Labyrinth. You know I'm just teasing you, Mike. Nobody is better than associate producer Mike. Final 4 minutes. Do we rule this a W or do we rule this an L? Let's open it up to see what the people have to say. 201-209-9368. W or L? Did we win? Did we lose? You don't even need to screen him, Mike. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, sorry, I got cut off before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, I overheard I was the goblin in Labyrinth, and I think
these people are answering what it is. Tonight sounds like a big, fat L. Can't get no traction with these people. Good news, people, though. Just because this show ends doesn't mean you have to stop listening. Evan Funk Davies has 3 hours of music for you to listen. He's got all kinds of surprises worked up. And he just handed me a note. It says, please tell your weirdest listeners to stay tuned. I have special stuff planned for them all night. FMU, you're on the air.
W.
Why?
Because the last half hour was awesome.
Oh, you're kind. Thank you. FMU, you're on the air.
I don't do TV.
That's a vote for an L. WFMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
It's Bob calling you from Memphis.
What's the vote, Bob?
I don't know. I think it might be the first L of the year. I want to pull for you, Tom. But
how dare you? You get off my phone. Of course this is a W. It was a great show. The idea that somebody would say that this is a... I was only being humble by saying this was an L. This is a rout. You tell me where you're going to get that. You got Pablo Fontana. We had all kinds of fun stuff tonight. That's just gross. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Sean.
Sean, W or L?
W.
Thank you. FMU, you're on the air.
Labyrinth was the best movie ever!
Labyrinth was the best movie ever. Man, that poor guy. Labyrinth. How does somebody get into that? See, like watching movies, all of a sudden he sees this movie. All of a sudden it's like, hey, this movie's really speaking to me. Wow, look at the horrible acting, the terrible puppeteering, the awful costumes. I think this is my movie. Labyrinth. That's just sad. But you know what? We salute the sad here on the show. So that guy, I'm appointing you caller of the evening. The Labyrinth guy, I'm dedicating this show to you, buddy. You did it. Everybody, Netflix Labyrinth. The people at Netflix are going to be like, Yeah, 30 people asked for Labyrinth. All of a sudden it got onto all these queues now. What's wrong? What happened there? But like, yeah, 6 months ago we had 15 people put Clifford on their queue out of nowhere. We only have 2 copies of Clifford. They're going to be like, we have 4 copies of Labyrinth. Somebody's got to go down to Best Buy and buy 11 more Labyrinths. WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. This has been the best show on WFMU. And yes, this was a W. So maybe this wasn't last week. We had Seth Galifianakis. Everyone can't be a blowout. But it was fun, right? Did you have fun tonight, Mike? See? And he didn't even see Labyrinth. So please stay tuned. Evan wanted me to read this also. He says he's going to be doing later in his program a tribute to the movie Labyrinth. So I guess he's...
Free poster giveaway.
He said there's going to be a Labyrinth poster that he's going to give away during the show when you hear the song Underground played by David Bowie. So stay tuned for that. WFMU, stars WXHG, Mount Hope, Worldwide Web, WFMU.org. Friends of Tom. That's where it goes down. We will be back next week. Stay tuned for Evan.